So today we will be discussing the last hindrance, namely doubt. We have discussed clinging and aversion, restlessness, and I added a bit of boredom with it, sloth, and then today we are going to be discussing doubt. Now, doubt is a hindrance that is often directly related to the practice itself. So when you doubt in your own ability, this can often lead to you giving up on your practice. So before we start discussing this final hindrance, you can just adopt a nice erect posture, just a change in your posture, just to come into a posture of being alert and present. And also just again practicing deep mindful listening. Now, what is doubt? Doubt is basically mental preoccupation. It's involving indecision, it's uncertainty, and there's a lack of confidence. So there's a lot of thoughts and a lot of ruminating that involves doubt. Now, it can cause you to hesitate and not settle into a meditation practice. So it can really also almost be a form of restlessness that's in your body. And there's a lack of clarity about what must I do, and I'm not sure what to do, and I don't know how to do it. So it might even be involved with the deep, fiery inner conflicts, and there might be all kinds of fears that is stirred up by the practice. And it can even come across as your mind being very agitated and sometimes just simmering in negative thoughts and feelings of inadequacy. So it can really deflate. Doubt can deflate you, and it can rob you of energy, which is the sloth that we discussed, and it can also rob you of interest. You might at a stage just feel, but I'm not even interested in this anymore, and I don't really want to do this, and then you can maybe give up on your practice. Now, doubt as a hindrance is very different to questioning doubt. So there's different type of doubt, and I'm just going to be discussing two during this time. Now, doubt as a hindrance leads to inaction and giving up. So it's really almost a form of not wanting to carry on, where questioning doubt inspires action. So that is almost this impulse to understand. There's a curiosity involved. You want a deeper investigation. So your questioning doubt is a good doubt. That's really a doubt that motivates you to carry on and to almost dive deeper into something, whether it is in your practice or whether it is something in life that you are busy with. But hindering doubt, it takes many forms. So it can be doubt in the practice, it can be doubt in the teachings, or more dangerously, it can be doubt in yourself. So there's almost this lack of confidence in your ability or in your worthiness. And this can also be an underlying issue when it comes to doubt, this lack of confidence and this lack in your ability and your worthiness. So it can be sometimes very difficult to recognize doubt when you are caught in it, and when you're caught in this rumination and this negative thought cycle. So the challenge is really to have enough distance or objectivity to see it for what it is. So this happens, this observation or this distancing, this can happen when you notice your thoughts. So when you're bringing awareness to your thoughts and maybe to the tension in the body, because doubt can definitely have an effect on the body. Doubt will definitely sit somewhere. There will be tension somewhere in your body that accompanies these thoughts, these negative thoughts of doubt. And just noticing your thought life and the tension in your body can help you identify it. And once you've identified it, it can actually be very helpful just to name it. Oh, it's doubt. And with enough distance, we may be able to stop believing the thoughts. Hey, so it's that whole thing about meditation of I can't believe what I'm thinking and I'm not my thoughts. So when hindering doubt has been identified, you must maybe need to investigate what is causing this doubt. If it is about the practice itself, maybe you want to again do something very practical and go read up more on what is this practice, what is meditation, what is mindfulness. If it is maybe a self-worth issue, you might want to challenge these ingrained convictions about self-identity. So again, it might be something practical, or like doing some internal work, going to see a therapist, or just by yourself, really challenging, what is it that I believe about myself? So doubt can also become a tool of resistance to changing and growing and keeping you stuck. So it can really be something, if you are not identifying, but this is doubt, it can really keep you stuck in a cycle of negativity, and also stuck in a space where you can't move forward and you can't do the necessary changes in order to go forward, whether it is in life or whether it is in your practice. Another very practical thing that you can do is just slowing down and maybe just lessening the duration of the practice. So maybe you were trying to do 20 minutes and maybe just bringing it back down to 10 minutes again, and then slowly working up to 20 minutes. So doubt has many faces. It can sometimes be a non-specific anxiety, almost like that where you've got this lingering feeling that you've forgotten to do something. Or it can be felt as an exaggerated, ever-present distress. And it can be, you know, you doubting or you're thinking and you're ruminating over a decision you have to make, or ways that you have failed at something, or maybe about that car that you need to buy. And so it can be many, many thoughts. It can be have many faces. It can have many voices. And when this doubt arises in the mind, it clouds your judgment. It limits your ability to act. And it causes great emotional upheaval usually. So it's very important to recognize, again, that you are not your doubt. I'm going to say it again, because it arises from past experiences. So doubt is often accompanied by what you have experienced in the past, and those become almost these ingrained stories in your mind that just keeps resurfacing this doubt. And when we are not aware of this, so when we are on autopilot, it's just these thoughts that's constantly in our mind and causing us to react all the time, not knowing why we are doing it. So the awareness and the awareness of, oh, this is the hindrance, doubt, can really be quite freeing in the sense that it can bring you into a space to make different choices. So naming it as doubt, and maybe, you know, just treat it as a messenger or an opportunity to practice living with uncertainty, because doubt is unavoidable. It's an unavoidable part of life, and life is always changing. So it's almost like the sense of everything that you think is important and the nature of your abilities are always kind of out of doubt. Out of doubt. So it's almost like this anxiety of the future is misplaced, because much of it is based on your past. Mark Twain said, "My life has been filled with terrible misfortunes, most of which never happened." And isn't that so true? Is when doubt arises, it's often accompanied by past anxieties. Hey, and that the thing about this is once you start worrying about something, or there's doubt about something and it brings up an anxiety, say about your work and a relationship, if you observe your thoughts, you will see that it doesn't stay with this one anxiety or two anxieties regarding your work and a relationship. When you see again, you're worried about your health, and you're worried about that car that you need to buy, and you're worried about that decision that you had to make. So if you observe your mind and your doubts, you will also come to the conclusion that your mind is not coming up with new things. It's these same habitual patterns and these same doubts that you are rehashing every time. So again, when we think of doubt, and then how can we skillfully work with doubt? It is the same as with all the other hindrances, is to become really curious about it. And to observe and ask some questions. Whose voice is your doubting voice? Does your doubt come with lots of images? And notice the existence of your internal movie. So these images and these movies that's constantly maybe accompanying your doubt. And you can ask yourself, but who creates these images? And why are they to be believed? And through this mindful inquiry and just asking yourself these questions, you might actually have some powerful insights that can really change the way that you view things and help with your identity and help with your self-confidence as well. So as we come to the end of the five hindrances, it's important to remember not to view these hindrances as enemies, but rather to view them as your teachers. So this is really a time to almost say thank you to them, because they are simply habits of the mind. So one must learn to just practice with the hindrances by recognizing them just for what they are. And we raise our awareness to see them when they are happening. So to be able to, as they appear, to be able to give them a name. And we explore the nature of them through the observation. And we don't analyze, because that just becomes a lot of thinking, except if we are doing this in a very mindful manner, when we're asking questions and we are maybe just wanting to delve a little bit deeper into what is really going on here. So if we view these habits as our teachers, then there will be a lot to learn.